Well, find Exodus chapter 20, if you would. As far as actual words go, we're going to get to one that is a very short commandment. Amen? Tonight, in verse 13, but we're going to go ahead and stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, and we're going to read here several verses and talk about one of these other commandments that are directed toward our relationships with mankind. As we continue to study along the lines of these Ten Commandments. I'll read out loud, and you can follow along silently. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. So this is one that many scholars call one of the most misunderstood of the commandments. Who agrees with that? Probably, right? You say, well, it's probably misunderstood because it's a short one, right? There's not much definition or explanation. If you look at the commandments we've looked at before, as God talks about his first commandment, that one's pretty short, but it's to the point, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's pretty cut and dry, right? I mean, what explanation is there needed? Okay? Then he goes on and he says about making the graven images. Okay, not bowing down to them. Alright, that needs a little explanation. You know, what's he talking about? I get that, but it's still cut and dry, if you will. As we go on and we talk about not taking God's name in vain, he talks about that and gives a little bit of an explanation there and a little bit of a incentive, saying that he will not hold that person guiltless who does so. And then he talks about the Sabbath day. Of course, he needs to explain what day that is and how and why and all such and so forth. So verses 8, 9, 10, and 11 go toward that. And then we get to honor thy father and thy mother as we begin to deal with our relationship with mankind. And he explains that. And we know that Jesus told us that it's the first commandment with promise. Okay, so we understand that this is what we're talking about. These all have explanations. Then it gets to verse 13 and it's just four words. Thou shalt not kill. Okay. So one would tend to kind of think, and this is where the misunderstanding comes in,
All right, I'm not supposed to kill anything. Because the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. You know, so when I go over to my garden, and I you know, pull up a carrot,
the carrot's dead.
Okay? Some people think stuff like that. Okay? Come on now. All right? You know, we have things in our... I'm sure some of you had a wonderful lunch today. I hope you did. We had a wonderful lunch. It consisted of onions. Okay? Barbecue sauce. Fantastic, right? And then some bacon. I do have to tell you that the pig had to die to get that belly meat in my pan, okay? And then laying on top of that was these just two beautiful front shoulders of the American white-tailed deer. Something had to go bang for it to be in my freezer, okay? And such and so forth. And that was all roasted at 350 for 6 hours. And it was absolutely fantastic. Now, so thou shalt not kill. That's why it's confusing. Well, what are we supposed to eat? Right? What are we supposed to do with these things? Okay, well, all right, fine. It doesn't pertain to that. But okay, then we have things like self-defense. We have things like war. We have things like these. So what? I mean, these four little words, how can they be so confusing? Right? So do you understand why many scholars think this about this particular commandment? Okay? So we have all of this to talk about this evening. Now, the sixth commandment is one of these quandaries, one of these difficulties. And so we've got to understand what it's talking about. All right? Now, we have our King James Bible. Okay, translated from the original languages into the English language, and I believe at an optimum time in history. Okay, this is all orchestrated and done by God. So I'm not going to say that this would be better translated because I don't believe that. Okay, I believe it was this translated correctly in our Bibles. Okay. But now, there's a reason why the translators chose this word to translate it in the English language, the word kill. Okay? Now, though the word is translated kill in our English Bibles, the Hebrew word from which this English word kill is translated has the meaning or the accent of murder. All right? Over just plain old killing. Okay? Now, just because a word has that essence doesn't mean it's mistranslated. All right? Let me just explain that to you. Okay? There are many words in our Bibles we need to actually go through and study. All right? And we need to make sure that we are understanding what God is saying, not just what we think God is saying. So we need to put it to the task. We need to go through and to make sure that we're talking about what the right things that God is talking about. So when God says, thou shalt not kill, he's talking about our motive, if you will. He's talking about our determination between us and another human being. And so we've got to understand that this is very important of the sense of the word to understand. Okay? Again, in our English language, Our English words are a bit more broad, okay? And so we've got to understand that these are the things that God... You could talk about different things, like the word love or the other words in our Bibles. It doesn't always mean, that's one word, it just means that, okay? So we've got to kind of think a little bit, which is important, which, unfortunately, some of the more modern crowd chooses not to do. Or, in some cases, chooses to do too much. Okay. Now, when we're talking about this, we need to make sure we understand the biblical principle that human life is sacred to God. Okay, so this is very important. And so with this mindset, as we talk about some of these things and some of these nuances of this particular commandment tonight, I want you to think about it with the premise that human life is sacred to God. Can I tell you something that as you read through the Bible, you see some pretty outrageous examples of the ending of human life. Okay, some pretty graphic examples of the ending of human life. And I want you to understand that God never does this flippantly. He never does this without cause. He never does this without justification. God is very particular about these things pertaining to the ending of human life. Why? Because we are His crowning creation. We are the only ones created in the image of God. Let me ask you a question. Does God care about mankind? Yes. I love the verse that says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" I mean, God doesn't have to care about us as much as He does, but He does. You say, how is that? For God so loved the world that He gave. You understand that this is important to God. Mankind is important to God. So this commandment, this second in the line of the, if you want to call them human commandments or human relationship commandments, first we have honor thy father and thy mother. Very important commandment. Why did God choose that one first? We talked about that last time, okay? So there's an important reason. Then He says, okay, sanctity of life is critical. It's important. It should never be treated haphazardly. Okay? You know what? In our day today, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but I am vehemently, that's a good word. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, but that's how I like to say it. Vehemently, I'm not sure. Brother Losey, is the second pronunciation better? They're both all right. Okay, good. I can say it the way I want to then. Amen. I am against these mindless video games. That just people just blowing people up just for fun. Okay? That goes against every grain of what God is trying to say about the sanctity of human life. And you know what? You want to know where a lot of these mass shootings come from and all this nonsense? People's minds are messed up. Because of these movies and these video games and these things, they think they're playing a video game. And they think that when it's done, they're just going to get another life. Okay, the devil does. He's messing with people. Anyways, God says that this premise is the sanctity of life is paramount. Taking of life should never be a flippant thing. It should be a thing that's on your mind. It should be something considered greatly. Now, God says, thou shalt not kill. So human life is sacred to God, whether it be the unborn child, and we'll talk about that, or the fully mature man. Man is an eternal soul with a temporal body. Okay? So this is very important. God wants us to understand that sanctity of life, human life, is sacred to Him. When one murders another, he has stolen the one thing that man cannot regain. You can't get life back. Once it's gone, it's gone. And to take that life is to, if you will, steal that life from another. Okay, so these are things that we must think about. So when murder occurs, life is stolen from that person, and that earthly life is ended. It is essential that we realize that this commandment has to do with the protection and sacredness of human life and has no meaning or reference in regard to animals, fowl, fish, bugs. It's okay, ladies, to squish a bug. Right? You're not violating a commandment, all right? Brother Dart, it's okay to kill a lizard. Okay? If you could stomach that. Right? that little inside joke. Okay. Anyways, It doesn't pertain to those things. It doesn't pertain to corn or onions or potatoes or trees. All the tree huggers out there, sorry. Okay, we're going to have people protesting out here. I think if we do, I'm going to get my smoker out and start smoking some stuff. Killing your wood and your animals. Okay. Anyways. I'll wear my shirt that says I'm an animal lover. I love them broiled, baked, fried, fricasseed, you know, whatever. All kinds of ways. Now, it has nothing to do with those things. It has everything to do with human life. Okay? So it is essential that we realize this. The wackos of this world who elevate animal life to the level of human life really are just another cult who reject the teaching of God's word. Several years ago, sorry folks from California, I read this article. There was a guy, now, and I'm not for, and we're going to talk about this in just a moment, but animal cruelty is awful. You shouldn't be cruel to anything, right? I'm not for that at all. But this guy was driving down the road in California somewhere, and he had this dog, his family pet, right? And he was driving down the road. This dog was in his lap or whatever it was, and the dog bit him. Okay? So in response to the dog biting him, he threw it out the window. This is perfectly normal thinking. I would absolutely do that. I mean, the thing bit you. You know? It was just... down the road. Now, listen, can I tell you something? They put the man in prison. Since when does animal life and human... Like, again, I'm not promoting cruelty to animals. But you're going to, if you will, take away a man's life because he did something to a dog? I just don't understand that. Okay, so these people have just lost their mind these days. Okay? And so we got to understand that this is not what this commandment is talking about. So, the Bible does not approve of slaughter of animals just for the sport or just for these things. But you understand that there is a sanctity, there is a boundary concerning this commandment. So, we need to understand these things. So, first of all, let's talk about the misunderstanding about the slaying of animals and such and so forth. In Genesis chapter 9, God told Noah and his sons after the flood to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish the earth. And he says, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, and upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, ye shall not eat. Okay, so God's giving some directions, some instructions. Once again, we find ourselves having to rely upon God for the definition of things. Okay, so would God give Noah and his and the people these abilities to do this and then say, thou shalt not kill, and it pertain to not eating animals? No, he wouldn't do that. Okay, our God is a God of order. He's not going to seesaw back and forth on things. He's going to be constant, right? God is God. So God tells us that we understand that these things are for man for food. So there's a purpose. God further illustrates this in Acts chapter 10 when Peter is given that vision, and he says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Okay? So we quickly, very quickly understand that this is something that God has given to us as food, as necessary food for our bodies. And this commandment does not pertain then to animals and plants and things like this, as activists would have you believe in this day and age. Okay? Now, another thing, there is also times where an animal is not killed for food's sake. All right? We had a situation at our home where there was a neighbor's pet, a dog, and it ended up attacking one of our children. Okay, you know what? You know what should happen to that animal? Bye bye. Okay? Why? It's scriptural. The Bible says here in Exodus 21, if an ox gore a man or a woman that they die, then the ox shall surely be stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit. Okay, so he says the owner won't be responsible for it because it's something that it just happened, but that ox is done. It's over with. Okay? And that for that thing. I love what this says, though. It's kind of interesting. But if the ox were wont to push with his horn in time past, and it hath been testified to his owner, and he hath not kept him in, but he hath killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death. You think God cares about human life? Folks, he does. You say, man, that's a severe punishment. Yeah, because God cares about human life. It's a severe punishment. So these are some of the things that we're talking about. In Exodus chapter 12, the Bible tells us this: your lamb shall be without blemish, male the first year, and you shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats, and you shall keep it unto the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. This is one of the instances. This is, of course, the recording of the Passover. I can read to you many, many other instances of times where animals were used as a sacrifice unto God. So we can very plainly build a case, not based on what I believe, but based on what the Bible says, that this commandment, thou shalt not kill, has nothing to do with plants or animals or other creatures. It has to do with mankind. It has to do with the subject of murder. Now, look at number two. Well, I'll look at number two. You just listen to it. It says number two right there. Now, animal life should be, before I get to that, let me just make this clarifying statement. All animal life should be treated with kindness, should be treated humanely, should be treated properly. That particular deer, I know I'm probably going to get all kinds of comments about this, but that's okay. I can handle it. I'm still going to shoot them. And it's not for sport. Okay, it's not just to waste it. It's to eat. That's the purpose. That's the purpose that God has for these creations. And so that is well within the guidelines of what God has given to us. But it should be done with kindness. It should be done with care. You know, hunters are some of the best conservationists that we have in our world and country today. And responsible ones are going to do things the best of their ability. There was one time I was sitting in a deer stand, and this really nice buck walked up one of the side walkways, but it was in the midst of a bunch of trees. You know what? A sports hunter, one that was just in it for the trophy, would probably try to shoot it. But someone who's responsible and understands that a clean kill is the most humane and most efficient and best way to do things is not going to take that shot. And I didn't, because I wasn't sure what was going to happen. We need to think about it. We need to make sure of what we're doing. So that we're going to put that to bed. I think we've beat that one up enough and taken care of that. Now, the next thing to think about is this thing of capital punishment. All right? We just talked about it. This circumstance that Moses put forth, that if the owner of this animal knows about this animal and doesn't take care of this animal, and that animal kills a person, now the owner's responsible. Punished by what? Yeah, folks, that's not a metaphor. It's just a way of saying he'll be dealt with harshly. No, they're really going to kill him. You say, well, that's not fair. Well, okay, this is what, again, not our thinking, but God's definitions of the matter. Okay, so in Genesis chapter 9, the Bible says this, "And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. At the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." Okay, so we talk about this, and we talk about how this happens. It's required of God, the sanctity of God. You say, well, or I shouldn't say you say, the critics say, the others say, well, what about the people that are putting to death this person that put these other people to death? Shouldn't they die too? Okay, then everybody would be dead. And it'd just be one silly chain of deaths until everybody was dead. And there'd be nobody, actually there'd be one person left. Nobody to execute the last person. I mean, really? Is that how it works? No, that's not how it works. And so we understand that there are some crimes and some things that God says need to be cared for. In Exodus chapter 21, he says, "He that smiteth a man so that he die shall surely be put to death." Okay, that's what it says. It says, "And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver them into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee." Now, what's that talking about? Remember those cities of refuge that God established throughout Israel. Okay? It says here, "But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found at his hand, he shall surely be put to death. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And if men strive together and one smite the other with a stone or with his fist, and he die not, but keepeth his bed, if he rise again and walk abroad upon his staff, then shall he that smote him be quit. Only he shall pay for the loss of his time, and shall cause him to be thoroughly healed. And if a man smite his servant or his maid with a rod, and he die under his hand, he shall surely be punished. Notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his money. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall surely be punished, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. If any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. And if a man smite the eye of his servant or the eye of his maid that it perish, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake. And if he smite out his manservant's tooth, or his maidservant's tooth, he shall let him go free for his tooth's sake." So you understand that these are things that are given by God as instructions of how to deal with these circumstances. You say, well, we just don't do things like that anymore. Okay. Who knows better? How's the justice situation working out in our world today? How many of you want to give, let's go 1 through 10. You want to give it a 10? No? Five? Who will give it a two? Maybe? Okay. I mean, huh? What are we doing? God set forth these things in motion for his people and for their benefit. You understand that God has a purpose for all things. Why do we have the rampant crime and difficulties in our world today? Because these things aren't being followed. Because man has said, well, we have a better way. Maybe it's because people have misunderstood this commandment. Because thou shalt not kill doesn't have to do with capital punishment. thou shalt not kill doesn't have to do with animals or plants. Now, for sake of all those that are in attendance today, because it's such a broad crowd, moms and dads, I'm going to leave some of this to you. And it is Bible, but I think it's wise not to read necessarily all these things because it brings up some questions sometimes that we're just not prepared yet to answer. But in Leviticus, in chapter 20, you can read about all the death consequences for participating in things that men and women should not be participating in. And it's severe, folks. There's even one portion that says if you commit such a thing, they're to be burned in front of the people. That's rough. That's difficult. So we're talking about things, those who practice witchcraft, those who sacrifice to other gods, adultery and fornication, those types of things. Hey, listen, there's a man in the scriptures, this man Achan. He went to Jericho, right? And the walls came falling down. And what happened? He went in and he took of the accursed thing. Now, folks, please understand, he did it. And he hid it in his tent. And when the things all got sorted out, they took him to the valley. And they took all of his property. They took all of his goods. They took all of his cattle, other things that he owned. And they took his entire family. By the way, whom were innocent. And they stoned them with stones and burnt them with fire in front of the congregation. You see, well, that's horrible that the children of Israel would do that. Excuse me. God gave that judgment. Not the people. See, then what kind of God is it that you serve? Folks, we serve a just God. Don't ever forget that. I'm bringing out these things because it's important that we as believers understand and know them. We don't want it to be confusing. And God doesn't want it to be confusing. God wants man to realize that when sin goes unpunished, then sin is exalted. And sin is perpetuated. Hey, listen folks, if we were to do things according to the old ways, if you were out there stealing something and you got your hand cut off for it, there'd be a lot less theft. If we followed these guidelines and these things were to come up and people were to start dying for them, guess what we would have? A lot less things happening. That's how it is. You say, that's a really tough judgment. And pastor, you can't go by those guidelines anymore. I'm just going to ask, why not? Why not? So the next thing that we need to discuss is that the Bible does not talk about this, thou shalt not kill, to protect one's own life or family. You say, well, there are some groups out there that do not believe in violence of any kind because of thou shalt not kill. Do you see that as an example anywhere in this book? I don't. What did God tell his people to do if nations came up against them? Fight. Defend themselves. Defend their families. God gave them those instructions. It says in Exodus 22, it says, if a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall be no blood shed for him. That's what the Bible says. If someone breaks into your house, they have chosen the right not to live anymore. It's their choice. And you say, but that's killing. Well, in the sense of the word killing it is, but it's not murder. Because of the motive. I love what the next verse says. This gives, I read a whole bunch of commentaries about this one. The next, very next verse of this particular passage in Exodus 22, it says this. It says, if the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. Most of the commentators and scholars seem to think that if it were possible to recognize this person or just to scare them off, then that should be done instead of killing him. Which makes perfect sense to me. You shouldn't want to kill somebody. But in the moment, if you have to, you have to. For those of us that are in the military, perhaps the police force, you understand these things, that there's a time for this. Now, it seems to me like Solomon said there's something about, there's a time to what? To kill. Why would God tell Solomon to record that if that wasn't true? Is God going to contradict himself? No, he's not. So, but we have to, again, we're looking at this all through the eyes that God cares about mankind. God's paramount mindset in instruction is the sanctity of human life. Human life matters. Just because someone's wicked and horrible, does that mean that they should die? Not necessarily. That's not the mindset we should have. Although those are some of the times and things that God says should happen. Does everybody understand what I'm talking about? But we're not the judge. God is, right? And we're to go by God's guidelines, not our feelings about the matter. So we understand that this particular one, the picture of this, many scholars believe, is of a thief breaking through into one's home at night. And if he's killed, then the one who did the killing is guiltless. And they think that, however, if it's in the daytime, or if it's a time where a decent person, if necessary, would allow them to live and to pay the restitution. So we got to understand that. The Bible does not prohibit killing when bearing arms for one's country. I can give you all kinds of examples here. As the children of Israel went to war, etc. But in 1 Samuel 15, God says this. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel. How he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. Now, I chose this particular passage because to mankind and to our human reasoning, this seems unusually cruel. It does. It just seems that way. But does God have a just judgment for this group of people? Yes. Okay? Because God is just. Okay? Again, we're going by his definitions, not our definitions and not our feelings. So it says here that this is, of course, Samuel and Saul. This is this exchange here. God is telling Saul to do this. He says, destroy all that they have. He says, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. He says everything. Kill it all. Now, is that difficult to stomach? Yeah, it's difficult to stomach. I'm not going to argue with you at all about that. But this is not a command of Samuel, the prophet. This is not a command of Saul, the king. This is a command of Almighty Creator God. And let me just put myself in my own place. Who am I to question that? Who are you to question that? You see, that doesn't make any sense. Okay, humanly speaking, it doesn't make any sense. I won't argue with you on that. But I don't have to understand things from a humanly thinking perspective. Well, we all know the end of this story. Saul did most of that. And that was a problem because he did not obey God completely. God's word reveals that it is required for young men in Israelites' time to go to war in defense of their country. You can read in Numbers chapter 1, the calling out of these. Listen, folks, God wasn't sending them out to host the Olympic Games with these people and defeat them on that turf. No, they were going to kill other people. They were going to thrust swords through and shoot arrows and spears through. This was the reality of what this was all about. As far as the military and officers of the law, they're declared ministers of God for our good by God himself. In Romans 13, it talks about us being subject unto the higher powers. It says that we're supposed to, that these powers are ordained by God. And if we resist, therefore, the power, we resist the ordinance of God. They're ministers on behalf of God. Government has authority to punish the evildoer given by God. Remember 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. So when we're talking about thou shalt not kill, that has to do with these things. We have to keep in mind the context of Scripture. What is God talking about? We can't just take four simple words and say, well, that means we shouldn't kill anything or kill anybody. No, we have to look at what God is speaking to us about concerning mankind and our relationship with them. Now, let me just say this to you. From a personal perspective, I don't want to kill anybody. Do you know what? I was a part of our country's military. And if it were necessary, I would carry out that task if I had to. We have others in here that have been through various different parts of service, and I'm sure you feel the same way. And to this date, thankfully, I have not had to take anyone's life, according to the guidelines of Scripture. But here's the thing. If that day and time comes, I'm ready to. Not because I have itching to just take another human life, but I'm ready and willing to follow God's commands. And I'm ready and willing to do what's necessary according to the guidelines of Scripture concerning mankind. You know, there are some bad people out there. For instance, and I'll go ahead and say this on the internet, and it's not a challenge by anything, but if any wacko comes in there, I'm not going to let him shoot you. I'm going to do everything in my power to protect all of you because I care about you. And I have 9 chances to do that before I reload. And others have more chances than me before they reload. And thank you for that. Do you understand? And I'm not being bold or brash, and I'm not being arrogant, etc. I just want you to understand the reality. These things are important for us to know, to have in our heart, to understand. And listen, we ought to do it with the sanctity of human life in mind. Let me ask you this. How much do you care about mankind? God seems to care an awful lot about mankind. Do we care about mankind? And if we're talking about the sanctity of life, And again, we're taking a little bit of a stretch here, but I think it's important. Just follow me connecting the dots. There are people out there dying and going to hell. I'm going to switch from the physical plane to the spiritual plane here for just a moment. Couldn't we kind of stretch out a little bit when it says, thou shalt not kill? And pertain it to our either being or not being a witness to others? Are you willing to let someone else go to hell because you don't want to talk to them? Or you don't want to take the time to witness to them? Now again, I told you we're reaching a little bit here, but I want you to think. Yes, this is a physical commandment, right? Talking about the physical life. But we as Christians need to think about this. You say, what spurs you to think about this? As we close tonight, if you want to take over to Matthew chapter 5, Jesus himself furthered this commandment in Scripture. In Matthew chapter 5, he says this, "Ye have heard it said of them by old, it was said of by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whatsoever, whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing." You understand that Jesus kind of strengthened this idea of thou shalt not kill to the spiritual plane or to the mental plane. We understand that God tells not only are we not to kill, but we're also not to live in anger toward another. Doesn't the Bible say that we're supposed to be forgivers? Right? And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, what? Forgiving one another. You see, our relationship with mankind is important. Because our relationship with mankind kind of shows our heart about our relationship with God. How quickly are you willing to just fly off the handle and kill somebody? Now, we kind of say that tongue in cheek sometimes, but it's not funny. It's a mindset. God wants us to think about these things. These commandments were not just given to be misunderstood, but God wanted very carefully for his people to understand. So as we see here, this is Exodus chapter 20. You understand that Exodus 21, Exodus 22, verses in Leviticus, verses in Deuteronomy, God gave his people the entirety of the law to understand what thou shalt not kill pertained to. To what boundaries there were, what circumstances, what things were allowed and what things were not allowed, according to the taking of the life of another human being. God wants us to understand not just thou shalt not kill, but he wants us to understand the sacredness of human life. It is our hope that we will respect all life and not be led to believe that human life and animal life are the same. Man was made for God and animals and this creation were made for man. And we also need to realize that these other things that are happening in our society are the careless killing of mankind is a tool of the devil. Who doesn't care about mankind? The devil. Who does care about mankind? God. So all these mindless killings and things that are happening, that's not God ordained. That's the devil messing with God's creation. And we can just add on to that the premeditated murder of unborn babies. Because that's what it is. Man is choosing self, pleasure, convenience over the sanctity of life. You know what? That's wrong. That's wrong. That is not what God had in mind when giving this commandment. Now, I do understand that many difficult and touchy subjects were mentioned tonight. And I, with all my heart, I hope you understand, I'm not carelessly speaking on any one of these things. Or arrogantly or boldly flaunting anything. I just want us to understand what God has to say about it. Because that's the definition we need to get back to. That's the defining ideas that need to be held in our minds as God's people. So as you teach your children, don't teach them according to how you feel about the circumstance. Don't teach them how the world views these circumstances. Teach them how God considers these things. That's what we need to keep in mind most when we talk about something like, thou shalt not